Hey, guys. I couldn't hear you before when you called.
I didn't have my headset plugged in, that's why.
Oh.
So then I tried plugging it in, it didn't work, and then so I ended up having to reboot my computer.
Ah. Well, I hung up on you because I thought there was something wrong on my end. But my end is just fine. That's what the ladies
say. Yeah, great.
Green is the color. Football is the game.
Welcome to the Green is the Color podcast. It's episode 319. I'm your host, Francis Lord. This week, I'm joined by the regular guys, Tim Miller, Gerard Stresky, and Mr. K.
Are you saying we're not normal?
Hello? I said regular.
Good evening.
Hey. A regular crew.
Regular.
On this week's show, we're going to talk about the games of week 19, the last week of the 2010 regular season in the CFL. We'll also talk Grey Cup a little bit. And read some emails as well. Let's talk about the game that most of us were interested in, if not all of us, actually. It was the 31-23 win by the Riders over the Eskimos, and it finally stopped a four-game losing streak that Saskatchewan was on and gave, I think it's fair to say, Rider fans some hope going into the playoffs. Did we all breathe a sigh of relief with this game? And I mean all because it had playoff implications for the BC Lions, so I know I did.
Keith, did it give you any hope going into the playoffs?
You know, I all day yesterday and then all day today, people have been coming up saying, Lions made it! Woohoo! And I feel like I should be really excited, but I'm not. And I don't really have a good explanation for that.
I do, because they're going to lose.
Well, no. That's not why. Honestly, I have to admit, and I am a true diehard Lion fan, I was disappointed with Edmonton's play. I thought Edmonton could have played a much better game. I thought they had come out on a good streak the last few weeks, and I would have liked to see them have a better showing at the end. I know that in theory we should be cheering for Edmonton to lose, but I have a tough time, you know. BC had a chance to control its own destiny a few weeks ago and didn't make it then, and I'm not going to cheer for another team to lose just so mine makes it through. You know, this really feels like a backdoor way into the playoffs, and it's too bad that it happened this way. It doesn't turn around the season just to get that playoff spot. You know, it's been a long, tough season. So,
hey, but it's the playoffs, then anything can happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, we can certainly beat a Saskatchewan team.
Oh, whoa.
You got to hand it to Wally Bono, though. I mean, that team started 1-7. 1-7.
Well, what did Edmonton start?
2-9.
There you go, right? So
and
it's
they, but, you know, finishing 7-3. If the Riders could have finished 7-3 in their last 10 games, they would have been
having
a parade down Albert Street right now.
So there you go. Sorry, I don't think that was the answer you're looking for, Francis. Sorry.
No, that's good though. That's interesting.
It's, you know, it's just honestly, it's been a tough season, and it does really feel like a backdoor in to have another team let you into the playoffs. You know, the one thing I will say is that I am really glad that both Hamilton and Saskatchewan played the majority of their players. You know, that Darian Durant played the whole game and that Kevin Glenn played the whole game. Because that would have really bit if the game had been decided one way or the other by a team that didn't at least trot out, that pulled a Calgary, you know, and took Henry
Parra. Or a Montreal.
Or a Montreal, or a Toronto for that matter, from what I understand. So
I think it was a conscious decision by the coaches to sort of maintain the integrity of the game. I think that's sort of an unwritten rule in baseball as well. After the All-Star break, all the teams that are out of it, you know, they'll call up some of their AAA guys and their farm guys and they'll give them a look, but they'll always put their best roster on the field when they're playing against a team that's in a pennant race because they owe that to the other teams.
Well, the other thing, too, is I think in some ways they owe it to the fans. You know, the one thing about, and you guys may have a different opinion about this, being a season ticket holder, you know, go to the games, you look forward to seeing certain other teams, you know. Saskatchewan, when Saskatchewan comes to town, as much as there's a downside to those games in terms of some of the things that happen at the games, there's an intensity of play that's a level different. The other thing, you know, in terms of seeing Montreal come to town, you see, you know, to see Anthony Calvillo play. You know, he's a premier quarterback, and to get to see him, you know, execute the offense and see your defense play against him live, there's something different about that. And I got to say, you know, for Calgary playing in Winnipeg, that's the only game of the year that they play in Winnipeg, isn't it? Like, and for Henry Burris to be in for, was it two series? Was that it? As a Winnipeg fan, you know, I got to say I feel a little bit cheated by that, in that, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. I pay my money the same way everybody else in the league does. And I understand all the reasons why players get rested and what have you to prevent injury going into the playoffs. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is no league without the fans. The fans paid their money to go and see the game. And it's a little bit, to me, a little bit of a slap in the face not to keep your starters in there and playing, and you know, to say, you know what, this game doesn't really mean as much to us fans, so nice that you paid to come out. We're not going to tell you how long Henry's going to play beforehand. You know, you'll have to figure that out on game day. I think the fans should be able to decide how much they pay for the game afterwards.
That's the Calgary Stampeders, though. That team has no class.
I don't know. But you know what? I would have been all in favor of sitting down Darren Durant last week against BC. I wanted him to play this week so he could get on a roll and, you know, be on a good footing going into the playoffs. But I think there are times where you rest your starters. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I think as fans, you got to realize that this game is meaningless, and it's all about the playoffs at that point. That's what counts.
Well, if it's meaningless, you should get your money back.
Well, but it doesn't matter whether you win or not. It matters whether you're healthy for the playoffs.
Well, it matters to the team that's coming in that you don't see all year. Like, I don't know. To me, it seems like a slightly different situation when you're talking about Montreal and Toronto, right? Because those teams have seen each other before during the year, you know, and you get a look at those players, right? So it's a little bit of a different thing, but especially Calgary, you know, that they're first place team in the West. Like I say, I understand the logic behind resting players, but as fans, you know, I gotta say it's a little bit of slap in the face.
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, well, I think you need to see him up for a while anyway. I mean, really, I know what you mean. You don't want to see Ryan Dinwiddie for three quarters, really, do you?
Yeah. Well, no one wants to see that, but I don't want to see Durant hurt, so I got to decide.
I know,
what's
it's
more
true.
Important.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want him to break his leg or something. I mean, there's, you're walking a fine line here, I think so. But yeah, no, I think you play them for a while, then you put your second stringers in. Durant had to play this game though. The starters had to play this game because they have to be on a roll. They have to be ready next week. Otherwise they're going home.
Yeah. And I think also there was a, you know, they lost two or three games to Edmonton this year, and
they played them four times. Two and two. I think they were 2-2 against Edmonton.
Going into the game, yeah, they were 1-2 against Edmonton. And, you know, and Edmonton was on a pretty big roll, and I think they didn't want to lose that game. I mean, that's,
and Saskatchewan has had lots of trouble against Ricky Ray in the last few years. So.
And we can't seem to figure out who's the other guy.
Zaransky.
Yeah, we can't seem to figure him out either. It doesn't
no.
really matter.
We can't figure any rookie quarterback out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, let's get back to Durant. So he had a pretty stellar game, actually, when you look at his numbers. 26 of 38, 72% on his passes, 345 yards, the one touchdown, and most importantly, no interceptions. And no fumbles.
He had a great game.
On the other hand, Ricky Ray, not bad either. 21 of 33 for 246 and a touchdown. If we look at rushing, I don't know. Can we stop the run? Porter had 19 carries, 153 yards. Doesn't sound like we can stop the run. Wes Cates, on the other hand, was 11 carries, 42 yards, and a league-leading 16th touchdown.
Fortunately, BC's running attack is nowhere near as effective as Edmonton's is. So, but if we do manage to get past the Lions, that's going to be trouble in 2 weeks against Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Because they ran the ball down our throats the last time, and we looked powerless to stop it. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We did have a couple of changes on defense here. We had a newcomer, Rodrigue Wright, came in. He made two tackles. Montez Murphy probably played his best game, five tackles and a sack. Jarrell Freeman played well, five tackles. Tad Cornegay, seven tackles and a sack.
Back in his old position, right?
Yeah,
he'd been playing halfback and cornerback for most of the season due to injuries.
And that makes a big difference. And Byron Pollock played a decent game as well. But most importantly, was Baron Simpson taking an injury in this game. And excuse you. And we should see him back where it is right now, that he'll be back for the West Semi.
It didn't look too bad on the replay. Like, it didn't look like anything bent away it shouldn't go. So I think he should be all right.
The Riders took a couple of stupid penalties, though, I thought. Bullock and Freeman.
Bullock's roughing the passer penalty was pretty bad.
Uncalled for. And the extended drives, actually the score did flatter Edmonton when you get right down to it. Those two penalties, extended drives, and they went to score.
We did miss two field goals as well. Yeah.
That could be a problem, too.
That's a concern.
Major problem if you can't kick field goals in the playoffs.
Especially against BC, who does not miss field goals.
No.
That's a major problem.
No, that's not true. We had that one post.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah. Just one.
What's McCallum, like 91% this year or something?
Yeah. He's like the best year ever.
He's pretty good. If he'd
Louis Pasaglia.
Even better if he'd been in that one game, eh?
Yeah.
That's, you know, that worries. It worries me. It worries me because
they'll forget to put him on the roster for the playoff game.
Well, the other thing, too, is that BC has to get far enough down the field to get into McCallum range, right?
Well, that's Jonas Davis's job.
Yeah, I know we're not talking about the BC game yet, but we should
just
talk
skip
about
the middleman.
We do. Yeah.
Leave the offense out of the equation.
We try.
That was still pretty funny when Wally Buono said, "Let's go, Riders." That was very funny in the draw. Just that part and the end of the game there.
Angus Reed said he couldn't believe what he was saying.
Yeah.
It was actually, there were a lot of funny things with the broadcast. Did you notice the part where they were talking and in the background you can hear Wally saying to the camera, "Get out of my face."
Get out of my face. Yeah.
That was awesome. There was a really good shot too. There was one of Marcel Bellefeuille on the other side. They were talking about something and there was a guy behind him who did like the most prolonged, bizarre crotch adjustment, like during the shot. It was a really weird game for television coverage. The guys watching, we actually backed it up. We said, "Did they put that on television?" Yep, that's what he's doing. I liked too at Mosaic Field, Mosaic Stadium at Taylor Field. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right.
The that sign that they kept going to in the stands that said "Tombstone the Eskimos Now." Did you notice that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I was like, "Wow, that's not a verb, but okay. Yeah, sure."
Mm-hmm. Not a verb. Man.
World Wrestling Entertainment has made it a verb.
There you go.
I cannot stand all those prolonged ISOs on players who have just scored or made a big play on the bench.
They're uncomfortably long, aren't they?
Like, it's so awkward. It's not just awkward for the audience. It's got to be awkward for him because the camera's on him for so long. So, you know, he says, "Hi, Mom and Dad, back home, miss you, whatever." And he's done, right? But the camera is still on him.
For like 30
seconds.
And he's
like, "What the hell am I supposed to do here? Like, you get out of my face. Well, the camera's looking up my nose. Like, come on. I'm just a dude. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to relax. Get out of here."
Celebrate.
Some of them are pretty awkward with it, but some are used to it now because
it's
an old pro.
I mean, they've stayed on players so long that sometimes you miss a kickoff or you miss a huddle,
you miss the beginning of a play. And
they can't get that right. Are they that daft in TSN? Are they that daft?
I love those two where you go to some meaningless comment from the sideline that they've got that just drags on and on through a play. They get a first down and they're still talking about, so-and-so's in the stands today, you know, remembering years ago when, the football game's going on. Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
See, that's the problem with not having another network. When CBC did games, they extended that so you could do interviews, and then the play would start and they'd stop, you know. But now TSN's got to crunch everything in so fast, and some of these interviews on the sidelines are so long that you miss plays. It's absolutely freaking ludicrous.
Speaking of the CBC, too, did you see Walby this week? He was on the sidelines. I believe it was at the – wasn't he on the sidelines at the Winnipeg game? Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't see the Winnipeg game, actually.
as I recall, he was there, and it was either this week or last week, but I'm pretty sure it was this week, and the camera was on him, and I gotta say my heart felt a little ping for, you know, I used to love to hear Chris Walby do the color game.
You mean mangle the English language?
No, the thing about Chris Walby is Chris Walby would break down a play for a guy like me who's never played football in a way that's understandable. Mm-hmm. You know, but interesting, you know, he wouldn't dumb it down, but he would explain what was going on the field as compared to, you know, these, oh, baby, what a play, you know, like, I'm not interested in hearing that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Coverage was much better. The coverage was a hell of a lot better than CBC. But,
you know what?
Better.
No. You know what, though?
Yeah, it was.
I hope TSN smartens up and puts three guys in the booth during for the Grey Cup game, like they put Dwayne Ford and Cuthbert and Suter together, and not just two. I think it's a way bigger deal. It's a better feel. You get more viewpoints if you put those three guys in the booth. So make it happen.
They won't.
Well, you just told them to. Make it happen.
Well, they won't.
They must listen.
Put it in a post. They must. I think they read all our posts.
Well, so
Twitter
there.
That shit. Yeah. Tweet it?
Drawer, get
Twitter.
That twitted.
My uncle's been complaining for years about TSN's coverage, and
he's we know. You always bring up your uncle.
I don't think lots of people do. I don't think they're that bad.
Oh, I don't think it's not great, but it's not bad. The other thing
I don't like Rod Black. But
the other thing I would like to see is super slow motion. This league desperately needs super slow motion.
Yes, I agree. The replays are laughable in their quality. It's like
Betacam from like 1987. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's brutal.
It's Francis, you could shoot that.
We somehow got off topic here. Let's then talk BC quickly. They, they took matters in their own hands. They came.
Manny Arsenault.
We didn't even talk about the Ryder game. Are we going to talk about the Ryder game?
Well, we did.
Sort of did.
We didn't.
We didn't talk about anything.
Well, I wanted to tip my hat to the coaches. I thought special teams was great. Special teams were okay.
Which is the best defense you can with this group.
The thing that impressed me the most, and I'll make this point quickly, and then we can go on to your BC game, your precious BC game.
Thank you.
We blitzed Ricky Ray a ton in the first half, and he ate us alive. He hit Fred Stamps. Fred Stamps would have single coverage all the time, and he'd throw out hot routes or over the top to Stamps, and we were getting burned. Edmonton had a big lead. And then at halftime, we stopped blitzing, and it worked. It was great. We rushed three, and we dropped.
Wait a second. We made an adjustment at halftime?
He made an adjustment because blitzing Ricky Ray was not working. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but it happened. And the defense played really well.
That was going to be the one point I would make, was that we had no answer for Fred Stamps. Like, you know they're going to throw to the guy, but he's still open. Like,
well, he was open in the first half because we were blitzing all the time. Mm-hmm. But in the second half,
they
still ran the ball like crazy, but, you know.
And Ray's a good pinpoint passer, so he knows where he's going to be. So
the other thing I would say was Saskatchewan did a much better job this week of picking up the blitz and dealing with it. So that was nice.
Better protection.
But again, it's against Edmonton. It's not really saying much.
And
nope, they still won it.
Kerry Koch, I think, might be a keeper. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good player.
And he doesn't drop him, except for that one. He should have that one. But
we got to find a way to get him in more games next year. Well, now that Preciate's gone, that should be all right. Okay,
fine.
That's all I wanted to say.
23-21. You know, I was really surprised in this Hamilton game that they kept playing Glenn for as long as they did. I totally thought he'd come out in the third quarter, but they played him for like the whole game, right? So, yeah, I guess they were really trying to win that one. But, hey, how about those long throws to Manny Arsenault? Who knew? Who knew they could do that?
Keith, did you know?
No. I was caught unaware. You know what? It looked a lot better, didn't it? Like, Lule is looking better. He's passing over the middle. He's throwing the deep ball. He's looking, you know, he's looking like a lot more confident quarterback. He gets better.
We're real thrilled about that.
And Manny Arsenault made some ridiculous circus catches. You know, like, he looked fantastic. He's a guy who had bad hands at the beginning of the year, but he's turned it around, and he looked really good. So, you know, there were positives. I mean, the offense still doesn't – it's not perfect by any stretch. stretch. You know, there are lots of situations where they're struggling to find guys open. But they're getting better. The defense still looks very strong, so that's a positive. The one sort of bizarre thing was that Jonas Davis was just 100% shut down this week, which was really too bad. So Hamilton seemed to have his number. I don't remember Hamilton being an exceptional special teams team, but their coverage was absolutely excellent. They did a really good job. So Hamilton's my favorite team out east for sure. So it was a pleasure to watch them play. Like to watch good old Lotus Floyd. Any game where Jason Jimenez is beaten, love it. So it's good. Mm.
Floyd had a bit of a chip on his shoulder for that one, too. That was,
you know, that was something actually that was really interesting is in the press, some of the different quotes, and I don't have a specific one, but just the flavor that I got from different things that I was reading. I think actually some of it might have been from Lowell, who was on our show last week, was that the Lions coaching staff, some of the Hamilton players seem to be suggesting that the way the Lions coaching staff works is if they have something that doesn't seem to be working, they ask the players to keep trying it until it actually works. You know, that they're not very good at adjusting that, you know, in terms of saying, well, you know what, that didn't work, we'll scrap it and come up with a new game plan. And certainly watching them play, that seems to be the case, that they come up with a system and then want the players to make the system work and don't necessarily adapt the system for the players. So that was an interesting comment to read. And you're right, Tim, that some of those Hamilton players have no love for BC. So it's, you know, certainly Jason Jimenez didn't. Certainly Otis Floyd didn't. And it's, you know, it makes for an amped-up, interesting game. It was good.
Well, we will see the BC Lions next week at Mosaic. And
You will.
Should be a good one.
Sunday at 3:30.
That's right.
It better be a good one, if you know what I mean.
Oh, it'll be a good one.
The other games,
what do you mean?
What?
Sort of.
That'll be good. Never mind. The Stampeders in Winnipeg, nobody cares about this one, but the Stamps won 35-32. How about Drew Tate playing really well? And I don't know why we give away good young quarterbacks for nothing, or we let them go in his case. I don't think he was traded, but he was not re-signed. He signed with Calgary in the offseason there a year ago. So anyhow, Drew Tate played really well. They came out on top. And do we see any major changes in Winnipeg next year? Is Buck Pierce back?
Why?
Do you give that up?
I don't think he's healthy anymore.
You got to
go. What do you mean anymore?
You got to go with Giles. Make Charles your number one guy.
Yeah. Buck Pierce is done, I think.
He was a great player. And speaking of a great player, Jesse Lumsden played in this game. He scored a touchdown. And then I guess he tore his ACL, and that was really too bad. And, you know, for all the knocks the guy takes for being injury-prone, it's too bad when a guy plays as hard as he does and is as talented as he is. And it's just dumb bad luck, you know. So hopefully he can mount yet another comeback.
Just that, Matt Dominguez.
But at what point does the inevitable Jesse Lumsden injuries stop being tragic and start being funny?
Is that ever funny though? Because it's the guy's career.
People have been telling him to quit. You know, every time he tries to mount a comeback, and then it seems he's, you know, one or two games, and there he goes again. So,
well, I feel bad because when we were talking about him, Tim, you may remember that you and I were going back and forth when we first found out, and I was saying, no, don't sign him. What a waste of time. He's just going to get injured again. And lo and behold, here it is. And you're right, Francis. Yeah. You hate
not even
to see
his shoulder.
It. Yeah, you don't just hate to see it.
You don't feel any sense of satisfaction for being right, but
no, absolutely not, and certainly didn't anticipate it either. But yeah, it's a real shame. It's the same with Buck Pierce. You know, Buck Pierce, who gives his body so willingly to every play, and you can see it coming. You know, you see it coming miles and miles and miles away, and you don't want it to because you don't wish the guy any ill will. But, you know, he just – with Buck, though, I think you can say, and it's not necessarily that the injury happened on a play like this, but he certainly has a style of play that seems more prone to getting hurt.
Exactly.
Whereas there's
there's a thing called a hook slide.
Exactly. And I don't know that that's the case with Lumsden in terms of his injuries. They don't think that they are necessarily relate to – and I can't even say that for sure for Pierce because that it's not necessarily the place on which the injuries actually occurred. But for Lumsden as well, you know, I don't know that there's anything in particular he could be doing better, that it's just, like you say, Francis, dumb luck. Can I go back to your question about Winnipeg, Francis, about next year?
Okay.
I think that Winnipeg has the building blocks in place. One of the things that I'll look to see in Winnipeg next year is if there's more maturity in the coaching strategy. Winnipeg is this, we're going to line up weird, we're going to do all kinds of strange formations and really coach the hell out of our team in terms of different plays and not necessarily focus just on straight football. And I think that they have the pieces that they need. They just need to put it together a little bit more. And so, you know, I really hope for success for Paul LaPolice because I like what he does. I think he's an interesting guy in terms of his approach to the game and certainly his passion for the game. But, I just want to see him develop a little bit more and see them, turn around a little bit and maybe get over that corner.
Get over that hump. Turn the corner. Were you mixing metaphors?
Well,
there?
That depends. That depends on your orientation towards the ground.
Good point.
I'm thinking in different dimensions. Sorry.
Speaking of coaching, is Richie Hall back next year?
I think he is now. I think he is. I think Tillman's going to give
so.
him a full year to with some better players to try and make a go of it. I think he keeps his job now. I think he's too well liked there.
I don't think so.
He turned it around after they got rid of Machocha and he had a little bit freer hand. You know, he turned the season around, period, end of story. I mean, they're still not the brilliant first-place team, but they're certainly a better team than they were 9 games ago.
That's true.
The last game of the week was the Argos and Owls. The Argos won that 30-4. This was really the battle of the backups for the most part. Cavillo didn't even play. It was Adrian McPherson. And I think Cleo Lemon, when did he get out of this one? In the third quarter? Second quarter? Anyhow.
Although taking Cleo Lemon out actually makes your team
Dalton
better.
Bell came in. And for the first time in, 13 or 14 years, a Canadian quarterback stepped on the field for a regular season game and played. Danny Brannigan drove the Argos there, and they kicked a field goal. So he played pretty well in a meaningless game against backups, admittedly. But it's still nice to see a Canadian actually play that position. So kudos to Jim Barker for that one, at least.
The big thing about that game is Jamal Richardson was 109 yards behind Andy Fantuz for the receiving title, and they made no effort to get Richardson the ball. I don't even think he had a reception, so they just basically conceded the receiving title to Andy.
And speaking of which, you know, for all the bitching and moaning we've done this year about the Riders, this is still a pretty good team if you look at them statistically. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as a team, like if we look at their team defense, but if you look at individually, we've got some pretty talented people on this team. So you mentioned Andy Fantuz is the league's leading receiver, and he's the first Canadian receiver to lead the league since, I think, Dave Sapunjis in 96. Remember him?
95.
We have the league's leading passer in terms of yardage with Durant. We have the league's touchdown leader with Wes Cates. We have the league's leading tackler in Baron Simpson. And we have the league's leading interception creation specialist. What do you call them? Interceptors? Is he an interceptor? James Patrick?
No, he's his picks. He's got 10
picks. What do you call that? Picks leader?
He's a leading interception leader. That's what you call him. No, he's an interception leader. No, it's not.
I thought Darian Durant was the interception leader.
I think he is, actually.
I think he is.
Let's call him the main thief of
the
balls.
Ball thief?
There you go.
It's a family podcast. Come on.
No, it's not.
I didn't mean anything by that.
Family podcast coming from you, Tim? Really? Hello.
But it's true. We do have like our we do lead the league in a lot of statistics.
So does Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're probably still above us in the power rankings.
And I was going to point out also in the Edmonton game, Porter had 131 yards rushing. Is that against us?
153.
Yeah. Okay, and they still lost. So it can be handled. Running, you can run all over us or anyone, and you can still lose the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a passing league.
Sure it is, yeah.
I mean, the Argonauts win games by running the ball, but that's because they do a lot of other things well, too. You know,
that's right,
They don't take a lot of penalties. They don't turn over the ball that much, and they and they play great special teams.
That's right.
So, you know, you add that to a solid running game, and then you've got a team that can win some games.
And you balance running and pass, and that's how you win. I mean, look at BC a couple of weeks ago against us. I mean, Rich has had, 57 yards rushing, and they beat us. So.
Yeah, and BC really struggled to run the ball against Hamilton, I think. Mm-hmm. Robertson had 9 carries for 27 yards or something like that. Yeah. So,
I'm going to throw for
424. That's going to win some games.
That's right. I'm impressed with Lule though.
He's the quarterback next year. I think he's safe. So. You know, he's established. Unless Ricky Ray comes on the market, I wouldn't mind seeing him here.
How old's Ray? 36? Is that? I'm not sure. Is
Ray? 30?
Yeah.
No.
He's only 30.
He's way older.
He can't.
Than that.
No.
I'm going to Edmonton's roster right now and get to the bottom of this. They said it during the broadcast. I'm sure they did.
Maybe he said his mid 30s.
No. Well, it's just mere mouse clicks away. Ricky Ray, born 1979.
You're right. Holy shit.
He is.
He's 30 yet?
I'm serious. Wait. He's got 10 more years in front of him.
Yeah.
Does it say what day of the year? I'd like to send him a card.
you just missed it, actually. 22nd of October.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. You'll have to wait till next year.
What do you
Sorry,
think
Ricky.
You think
it doesn't mean anything. You're
He looks great. Like he's about 40, but he's actually...
He does. Do you think they'll cut him loose next year? No.
They need to keep their marquee player. There are two things that lead me to believe that it's a possibility. Is one, I think Tillman could probably use the money to throw to some other places. You know, there's a lottery.
Remember Kerry Joseph? He was the league's most outstanding player, won the Grey Cup, and they cut him loose.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is that as much as we all know that he's a good quarterback, and we do, I mean, you saw it in the first half, he is a good passer. My sense is, just from conversations with people who have roots back in Edmonton, that he's not as popular in Edmonton as we might think, that when things don't go well, he really is, he has to wear a lot of the crap on his shoulders. So it'd be interesting to see. At the same time, he's, you know, when you think Eskimos, you think Ricky Ray, you don't think anybody else. So
Jason Moss.
No, you don't.
he's so young though, at 30, like there's a huge upside there, isn't there? You know,
31, that, he's 31.
That kind of pedigree.
I'd love to see him here. But hey, I'm happy.
He's only 3 years older than Jared Zabransky, you know. Zabransky's December 4th.
You send him a card, Keith?
That's too close to Christmas. And you know, the other thing, Jared, you just haven't earned it yet.
Ow.
Sorry.
Picks of the week.
When Girard picks a long shot to win, Francis' reaction makes him unkind. But when Girard makes his picks of the week, you know Girard. He blows my mind.
Okay, picks of the week. Guess how you did last week, Girard?
Okay.
Guess.
I don't know. I got my all right.
Absolutely, you're perfect, baby. You finished it off like 100%. Yeah, you picked.
My God,
you did it. You ended the season with. It took you a little while to come around, but you made it. You're absolutely perfect. You finished the season at 49% for your picks. I hate to say it, but Tim brought you down that week that he finished.
I was
brings us all down.
Come on, Tim.
No. That said, that's pretty good. That's the good way to finish, because the one that I would not have picked would have been Toronto over Montreal, even knowing that...
I picked Toronto over Montreal. Wow.
Yeah, you did. Way to go, buddy. So this week, the big semifinal week, let's start off with Toronto in Hamilton.
Oh, man.
Hamilton has owned Toronto this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the hesitation for, Gerard?
Well, remember, I don't know. Just okay, I'm going to say Hamilton over Toronto.
I'm going to say you're right. The next one I'm going to say you're wrong. BC and Saskatchewan.
Oh, Saskatchewan.
Ooh, you're wrong. There you go. I told you, and there it was. Okay, that's a short picks of the week, but that's because we're in the playoffs.
Hey, a couple of other news items we should talk about. One, let's talk about TV ratings. The TV ratings on TSN this year have been huge. Actually, this last week with Saskatchewan eliminating Edmonton from the playoffs, the audience reached 1.35 million viewers. And this was, what was it, the 14th time a game in the CFL has averaged more than a million viewers. And if you remember, the first game against Montreal, the overtime game, that set a record audience for an opening season game. And now this is the biggest audience ever to watch a regular season game at 1.35. So that's a pretty huge deal. Their average...
Well, I have to wonder, does that mean, just before you go on, does that mean that J. Roy Simon is a Nielsen family?
Probably. The average audience this year was 807,000 people. So we said 14 games over a million. Oh. And
That's just in Canada?
That's just English Canada. That's not even Quebec. That's English Canada.
Okay.
And four of the top six most viewed games involved Saskatchewan.
No surprise so
the,
there.
The Edmonton game, of course, the one that just happened was number one. Number two was Labor Day against Winnipeg in Regina. Number three was September 17th.
Kind of a crappy game.
When Calgary came. Was that the game that we won? Yeah, that was the game that we beat them.
Yes, yeah.
BC at Winnipeg, strangely enough, Thanksgiving Day was 1.19. That was the overtime game.
Oh, that was a crazy, crazy
comeback. Fifth was Saskatchewan at BC when we beat them back in July. And
I'm sorry, I don't remember
Edmonton
that.
Edmonton at Calgary, that was the other Labor Day game. So pretty good. So if you think about it, 35% over last year. And last year, if you remember, was the year that we saw big increases because of the new rating system and their personal people meters. So another huge jump. So it's not just the people meters this time, this year. It's actual growth. And the other interesting thing is the audiences are getting younger. They have a bigger demographic, bigger audience with the 18 to 34. That's up 53% compared to last season. 53. Well,
that's good.
That means they should get a hot, young, new artist to do the halftime show at the
group. Tim, I like your lead-in. Who is this year's halftime artist?
Oh, my God.
It's Randy Bachman and what's the other dude's name? Somebody Turner? Is it Frank Turner?
No, it's
Dave.
Hang on. I've got it here.
Bill?
Fred Turner.
John?
Bachman and Turner from Bachman Turner Overdrive? Is this 1975? Yeah. Seriously.
I can only hope.
Seriously, somebody call, get the Eskimos on the phone. Keith, get your favorite Eskimos on the phone and ask them, what the fuck? Seriously, Bachman Turner?
That is ridiculous. Like, don't get me wrong. I used to own Blue Rodeo albums, but that's kind of the point. I'm 40 years old, and I used to own Blue Rodeo albums. You know,
yeah.
They were the halftime entertainment last year. Like, this is the best you can do. It almost feels like they just like Googled, "Will play concert for free," and just like cross reference that with Canadian artists, and just clicked.
It was
on the first
it was
one.
Like they were planning their Grey Cup budget and all their activities and festivities, and then they forgot. Oh yeah, we need a halftime act. And then they looked at the budget. How much money do we have left, Dave? We've got $137. Let's find out who we can get for $137. Like that's ridiculous. You know who the number one
Gowan? This should have gone Gowan.
You know who the number one artist is? Okay,
Lawrence Gowan.
Right.
Are you a stranger?
You know who the number one artist right now in the world is?
Kesha.
No. Justin Bieber.
Bieber?
The Bieber fever has spread, and I don't like Justin Bieber.
Bieber mania.
It's not for me, but he's the number one guy out there. He would be perfect for the Grey Cup. And they talk about – no, let me finish.
No.
They want to talk about growing the younger demographic. That's who you get, and you get attention to the
game.
That's who you get. I don't care if you don't like him. You just turn it off at halftime.
I think you can go a little bit more middle of the road. Like, you don't have to. I was at the Arcade Fire.
Okay, Arcade Fire was a respectable choice.
Credit Union Center.
And Arcade Fire is too abstract. They're too non-mainstream.
They had like the number one album on Billboard when their new album came out.
They're a fantastic band, and they are incredible live. And there were lots of very young kids at that concert. It was like it was a very eclectic mix of people there. There were some like 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, and then lots of people around my age as well. And just everyone had a fantastic time. And they're Canadian, and they'd probably love to do it.
There are endless good Canadian artists who could do it. The New Pornographers come to mind.
Yeah, you know, there's another good example.
Other than the name is something that you'd trip over, but they have some of those anthemic songs that would play really well to a venue like that, that I think people would react really well to. The problem with Justin Bieber, Francis, the reason why that's not a good choice is because, I'm sorry, football is a mildly complex game. You need some intelligence to follow what's going on. I'm sorry, Justin Bieber fans, but no. No. Absolutely not.
Plus he'd lip-sync the whole deal.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, he'd be doing his weird dance moves, and, you know, when it's – I'm just saying the Grey Cup is going to be BC and Hamilton, you know, but as Aluminium walks by, he might accidentally sneeze and
pour – Are the Foggy Notions available?
We're available.
That would be awesome.
No, make like a free concert webpage and put it up on the internet, and I'm sure next year Mark Cohen come calling.
Hey, Mark.
We'll play halftime shows for free.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, next year is going to be Tommy Hunter, if you read my article.
Tommy Hunter.
The year after.
And Gordon Lightfoot with Gordon Lightfoot.
I had Walter Ostinick for the Centennial game, but
do you know
Canada's
really
Coca King.
You know who would be really cool, and I know they're an older band, but they would be hella cool to see, would be Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and Rush has enough of that kind of hip factor that they would appeal a little bit more to young people.
Absolutely.
I think, than BTO, who, like.
My understanding from my female friends is that football would lose all female fan interest if that happened, but other than
Rush?
That, it'd be cool.
Yeah, chicks hate Rush. Yeah.
Oh, they're the ugliest band.
Rush is a dude's band.
That's a total sausage fest right there.
Although, another option, Rio Static's reunion. Myself and about, I don't know, 3,000 other people would be ecstatic.
Did the Bare Naked Ladies ever do the Grey Cup? They're fine. They don't have that drug guy anymore, but...
I am not responsible for Tim Miller's comments.
What?
You're not recording this, are you?
Did I say something wrong? He got busted for coke, but he's not in the band anymore.
Allegedly. Yeah. Let's just say allegedly, just in case. Just in case.
Sure.
Allegedly.
Luke Doucette's another one. Luke Doucette.
Ron Sexsmith.
Well, yeah, he'll fire up a crowd of 50,000. Jesus.
I know. Yeah, he's not his venue. I know. I'm just saying.
Leonard Cohen,
is Joni Mitchell available?
Joni Mitchell, if you say word one that's bad about Joni Mitchell, I'm booking a flight with a 2x4.
Shut up. She's from Saskatoon.
Joni Mitchell, she has a special place.
Special place in your heart. Anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Listener emails.
What about Anne Murray? Canada's songbird.
She knew one song. Medley.
Rita McNeil.
Now we're on track. We're back on track.
She does have similarities with football. She weighs about the same amount as an entire offensive line. So.
Oh, wow.
See, that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
That's uncalled.
That's really. Yeah. Way worse than Drug Guy. I like the Gordon Lightfoot suggestion from earlier.
Did Sloan ever do it?
No. Sloan? Are they still? I don't think they're still together.
They rock pretty hard.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
No, they're still. I think they're still. I don't know if they're playing right now, but you know,
Wikipedia will tell you.
For a can of beer. Rick Sloan might be there.
And they'd use Rickenbacker guitars, too.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is when they play underwhelmed, they always get somebody from the audience, usually like a 10-year-old girl, to come up and play I say usually because the one concert I went to, this is what happens, they get somebody to come up and play the bass to underwhelm.
Why is it one note?
Which
two notes?
I don't know. I don't know. But my understanding from other people is that's not the first time they've done it. So can you imagine G. Roy Simon comes out of the locker room, gets up on stage, not that he plays like a 10-year-old girl, but that he gets up and plays underwhelmed and then goes on to win MVP? That's, you know, that's okay.
I'd be
pretty good day.
I'm just, you know, sort of free associating.
That's great. Great radio. Anyway, listener emails.
We're so lonely. Drop us a line. We'll read it on the podcast. It's listener email time.
Let's see here. I'm going to read this one. This is from David in Texas. Hi, guys. You have a listener here in Dallas, Texas. I've been a Rider fan since I was 13 when I used to go to games with my uncle and cousins. I became an official fan during the 97 Grey Cup, or that's the 1997 Grey Cup, when the much despised Jim Daly was the head coach and Reggie Slack was the quarterback. Remember him? Yes, I
Reggie
do.
Reggie Slack.
They got to the Grey Cup based solely, it seemed, on an option play that they used to run, but Toronto figured out and beat them in the Grey Cup that year. Needless to say, though, I was still hooked. Yeah, nobody really remembers 97.
The Jim Daly.
We've erased that from our memory. But anyways, Dave, thanks for the email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice to know that we get a little love down
in Dallas,
down Texas. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, better things could be always worse for the Riders. Did anyone watch that
Cowboys game? Yeah, and they fired Wade Phillips, their head coach. Oh,
my goodness.
So if you would like to send us your memories of when you became a Rider fan, what did it for you, what caused you to be a fan, send them in to us. We are going to send out some loonies, Rider loonies, to the ones that we pick. I don't know how. But go ahead, send those in to podcast@greenisthecolor.ca. I guess that's going to do it for us this week. So send us some email. You can review.
We'd love to hear from you.
Review our show on iTunes there. Give us a review. It helps us become more visible. Share it with a friend. We'll have our subscription link up on the blog, and you can subscribe to it in iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. You can visit our Facebook page.
Sorry, we haven't been posting much during the losing streak because we've all been depressed. But
we're turning it around, man. This is it. We're back at it.
We're back at it.
Yeah.
Rejuvenated.
Yeah, it's going to be short-lived, boys. Sorry.
Anyhow, the 2000...
I knew you'd say that.
The 2010 regular season is over. We've got, at least we know, one more week to go. And it's hard to believe we're middle of November already almost, you know.
Season went so fast.
So 10-8, guys. Is that a good result for this team?
Well, we were 10-7
and 1 last
year.
We expected to be better, but we'll take it. 10-7, you're right. 10-7-1, we went to the Grey Cup, so we can still do it. Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you again next week.